Today on Abounding Grace, we take a look at the man born blind in John chapter 9 and the significance of this story.
This has always been something that the Lord has used to teach us about our spiritual condition, that people are walking around through this life, and the great truth is people are spiritually blinded to Jesus. They cannot see him. This is why Paul will say, when you're saved, the eyes of your hearts have been enlightened to see.
John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. He opened my eyes. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon continues with our series through John. We invite you to spend time with us as we take a look at this man born blind and the significance of this story today. Here's Pastor Chris in today's broadcast.
Well, I invite you to turn to John chapter 9 this morning, the exciting section of John chapter 9. I thought about breaking this up, and then I don't know if that's wise to do. It's one story, and I think you lose the effect of it if you do that. So we're going to consider the whole chapter today of John chapter 9. This is the word of the Lord. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." He kept saying, "I'm the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man's a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Wow, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone's a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born utterly in sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, how are your eyes this morning? I like to think a little bit about this great passage today with you, how important this passage is for Christianity and for our life. When the Lord puts passages like this in front of us, it's always important to ask, why is John in this particular gospel doing this? And I think you felt in the readings many of the ironies and many of the things that are just kind of comical in this passage that I think is just exposing how ridiculous unbelief is. But we have really studied the awful confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. It's been brutal. Last time they said awful things about him, things that were vicious about Jesus, attacking him and attacking Mary. And Jesus had just said to them in the middle of that if they knew the truth would set them free. And that's such a beautiful statement about the Gospels and about Jesus and his work, that his great work sets us free in this life. It's important to say, though, refusing him, they would not come to him. And what we have in front of us this morning are the sad effects of remaining in the consequences of remaining in the darkness. And that's what this is. Before us now, what John is doing is helping us understand what exactly Jesus came to do for us. Jesus is on a mission of saving. Jesus is on a mission, as we've seen all along. You have a great event, and then you have the teaching that comes after, the conflict and the teaching. That's how John's been doing this the whole time, back with Nicodemus and the woman at the well and the man who was healed on the Sabbath in John 5. Then you had the bread event and the same sort of thing. You have a major event here and Jesus is teaching from that about his salvation and about his great purpose in saving people. It's just beautiful, isn't it? But there's another truth here that I don't think gets a lot of play and talk about in Christianity. Jesus is also here to close eyes. Did you know that? Jesus is also here to close people's eyes. You will see that he wills to save his sheep. He will rescue them. He will save them. We're going to see this great truth in John chapter 10, where he says, "I've come for my sheep." He'll tell the Pharisees, "You are not my sheep. I've come for my sheep, and I lay down my life for my sheep." But here you'll notice here, all this does not go on, and this is actually really good news, I think, in our day. All that's happening, all this mission, all the ministry of a time in this world that we live under the sun does not go on indefinitely. And there is an end to all this. There's a goal to all of this. And we see that played out here this morning. But completely absent often from the message today is the important truth that Jesus is also a prophet of judgment. That's what why the message is so impotent today. You don't really want to mess with Jesus. You don't really want to take him lightly. You don't really want to set him aside. You don't really want to play fast and loose with him in his worship. He's no joke. He's no joke. And Jesus here summarizes everything that's happening in this particular passage with a summary statement in verse 39. Look at it carefully. In verse 39 of John 9, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world." Whoa. That's not what we see on bumper stickers, is it? "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." That is a remarkable statement in the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, that is exactly what this passage is meant to show us. It's meant to illustrate this very truth that's in front of us here, illustrating the very truth of that summary statement that Jesus makes in verse 39 of what just happened with the man and the Pharisees. So you have this here. If you're taking notes, you have a great illustration that Jesus provides for us, and then you have the great confrontation, and then the great conclusion to this section, which is really helpful. We're going to see two different people with they're going two different directions in this life and with two very different outcomes in this life. And all of this is intended, as John's gospel is intending to do, is to say, come to faith in Jesus, believe in Jesus. These things are written that you may know him and believe that he is the Son of God and have life in his name by believing in him. So here we are. I want you to notice in the last section of that ugly section that we looked at in John 8, that the last thing we read was in verse 59, they had picked up stones to throw them at him, boulders. And you'll notice here, there's a little curious statement already that's beginning to set up for this particular text, that Jesus hid himself. Now that's not just incidental. That's an important thing, that Jesus did something here in that he blinded them. They could not see him. This is important because how do you explain how they have stones and all of a sudden they can't see? This is an important moment of what Jesus is doing here and illustrating with two different peoples the opening of eyes and the closing of eyes. And so you'll notice that there's a lot of play of words here that we should see. On eyes and seeing and closing, all having to do with our spiritual state. And so I notice in verse 1, as we open up chapter 9, that we read, as he passed by, he saw. Another important thing to emphasize. Jesus is the one doing the seeing here, and he saw a man who was born blind from birth. Christ is taking the initiative, as he does in salvation. Nobody ultimately takes the initiative to come to him because of this great problem, as we're going to see. Everyone's born blind. Blind to Jesus. And so Jesus is out seeing. Jesus is out laying his eyes on this man who has been born blind from birth. He had never in his days seen any light of day. His eyes had never perceived any sparkle of light. You imagine that. I think it's all, I don't, there are a lot of bad afflictions in this life. But I think one of the great afflictions that would be the most difficult is to be blind. What a gift we take for granted. I have in that Bible collection I showed you last week, it was a pre-Braille Bible that Helen Keller used before they had the Braille system. You've just seen the Bible's full of raised letters. And the blind, what they would do is put their hands on these raised letters and try to understand the Word of God. Can you imagine how tedious and difficult? That would be to try to understand God's Word with your finger. Well, here we are. This is the very kind of affliction. The Bible uses this one constantly. To a focal point, blindness is one of the most common afflictions that the Gospels use to teach us something about us. And here we have this man who is in a lot of sorrow and a lot of misery. And the beautiful imagery is Jesus has walked right up to him and Jesus has laid his eyes on the man. And a question then surfaces about this particular man from the disciples. The disciples want to know, what would be the cause in this man's life for him to have been born with such an affliction? Born with it. It's probably been 30 years of blindness. They want to know if this blindness has been caused by some specific sin or this man's parent's sins, that he would have to endure such an awful state in this life, which really goes to show what the Jews believed about the law of hereditary and sin and the things that happen. And the reasoning behind it was pretty clear, that behind this defect has to be a sin. But how could it be so if the man was born blind? Could it be his own Could it be his own fault? How could it be unless he sinned in the womb? I mean, that's what they're thinking, which clearly believes the Jews had a pretty good doctrine of sin, didn't they? You can sin in the womb. Fascinatingly, Jesus answers in verse 3. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. So he says, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. This is a very big moment. It's really an amazing answer. Of course, sickness and the things that we face are all due to the fall of Adam. But the Lord here doesn't really go there. Everything that we have is a result of the fall. But the Lord here really does apply this in a completely different way. And this is where we're beginning to see something very special develop in the Gospel of John as Jesus is making distinctions about his people. You remember Jesus will say the same thing about Lazarus. When Lazarus dies, he will tell his disciples, look, this death is for the glory of God. So John is showing us something about suffering and death and sickness, that as Jesus has already made a great distinction in the last chapter between the sons of God and the sons of Satan. So what Jesus is showing us now is that for the sons of God, for the children of God, whatever has happened to them, whatever plight, whatever sorrow, whatever struggle, whatever hardship, all of it, Jesus has taken upon himself in his own work the particular purpose of using that and appointing that to be for the glory of God. That's really an amazing perspective in life. The glory of God's going to be shown in this man. How? Well, you're about to see it. It's really remarkable. Not quite in the way you think. So what Jesus does at this point is call his disciples to the mission, to enter into the mission, just like he called them to enter into the mission with the woman at the well when they were worried about buns and food, remember? He said, join in this work. He does the same thing. This man is an opportunity, and he is set apart in his sickness for the glory of God. He's a child of God. So you need to enter into this. You need to understand this. You need to help him. You need to love him. And you need to understand that God is using this for some great purpose. And we haven't really thought too much about that. This is why Jesus says, while it's still day, work. These are opportunities in life. And this is why the Sabbath issue is going to come up. Jesus was helping on the Sabbath. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. Get off these questions, says Jesus. It's not for you to determine times and seasons. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us together, all of us, to use for the glory of God. I'm here. There's a day coming when this all ends. And God has given us work to do. So you can peg this man with darts. You can leave him alone. You can avoid him. Or you can view him as some bad sinner. Or you can stand around and speculate. Or you can join the work that God has done in setting his people aside, even with their afflictions, for his glory. It's a really powerful perspective, isn't it? That's what he's saying to us. So here comes the great illustration. In verse 6, Jesus spits on the ground. Not a flattering thing to do. Makes clay with his saliva. And then he grabs the balls of clay and he, right on the eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and he comes back seeing. And I stopped and I thought this week, what a strange way to heal a man born blind, isn't it? As a matter of fact, you don't give sight by putting mud on people's eyes, do you? It's kind of offensive if you think about it. That's how you blind somebody. If a blind person were here right now and they can't see what I'm doing, and I had the ability to heal, and I grabbed big balls of clay and spit on the ground and then went right on the eye, you'd be mad at me. You'd say, that's the most insensitive thing you could ever do, Pastor. It's the most insensitive thing you could do. What's more offensive to a blind person than to make him walk around with big cakes of mud on his eyes? What's Jesus teaching? What's the illustration? Well, he's a walking illustration of the truth that Jesus is illustrating now. And that's the power of this. Imagine seeing somebody walking around with cakes of mud on their eyes that Jesus has put on a blind man. And now he's told, and by the way, the guy doesn't know how to get to the pool of Siloam. Now he's being led by people over to this pool that somebody had to take him to wash off this mud. Jesus has just done something very important. And you know what the truth is. It's the truth that you've always believed as Christians. It's the truth that you've always known. We're all dead men walking. We're all dead men walking around. We are blind people walking through this earth. When Paul was saved, you'll remember in Acts, I don't know how much to make of it, but something like scales fell from his eyes. And he finally saw. This has always been something that the Lord has used to teach us about our spiritual condition, that people are walking around through this life, and the great truth is people are spiritually blinded to Jesus. They cannot see him. This is why Paul will say, when you're saved, the eyes of your hearts have been enlightened to see. There's only one remedy to this blindness. You see, physical blindness in the Bible has always been set aside to teach us something about the blindness that we've been studying all over John to see Jesus. That's the issue. That's the important issue here. Everyone is blind to him. Nobody can see him. Nobody will see him, and they will not listen to his words, and they will not receive him as sent by the Father. They are blind. Far worse in this life than being physically blind is being blind to see Jesus. Far worse. And here is Jesus' sermon illustration. He gives a good one. Here's a man with filthy mud covering his eyes walking around that they all knew had been sitting there blind for years. It's a spiritual teaching, just like Naaman. You go wash in the pool, Naaman. You go and wash. And these waters that flow out of the temple, as Ezekiel had prophesied, as the message always was, there's healing waters out of the temple, which is the healing waters that Jesus gives. It's a whole visual of the gospel that had just been set in front of them, that all of our blindness is spiritual, and we have mud over our hearts, and we are a bitter, miserable people, complaining people who don't want to worship him, who don't want to be around him, and want to do our own thing, and we can be very religious in the process. We're born that way. No one can see Jesus. But God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive when we were dead, the eyes of our understandings being opened.
What a marvelous kindness our God has toward us, his deep love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that though we were blind, yet now we can see. Well, we thank you for taking some of your valuable time and spending it with us here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely or call 888-504-8805 or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.